Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Hello and welcome to the Air Buds Podcast, a podcast that is happening today. My name is Jamel Johnson, and what's your name? It's Mike.
My name is Mike. Welcome to the Air Buds Podcast. Happy basketball, everybody.
Happy basketball to ye, sir.
Thank you very much. You know what? Let's not fuck around at the top of this. I know you want to talk about Cat Williams, but you're going to want to talk about it with some of our guests that we have. We have a couple of very good guests. Before we introduce them, go to Airbuds. Go to patreon.com/airbudspod. $5 a month gets you bonus episodes, gets you access to the Discord, gets you good feelings knowing that you're helping a couple guys that just lived through various strikes last year. You know,
two strikes, two bouts with neurovirus. Because listen, okay, so I had it January 1st, all right, but that
I
means
paused
it
there because
started...
I knew you wanted to talk about your diarrhea.
Started last year.
If I give him
year.
A second, he'll keep going.
I got neurovirus in March, all right? Then I got it December 31st. I got neurovirus twice in a year, all right? Help me. Help us. Help us help me.
$5 a month goes through Jamel's flu shots. And then if you can't support us that way, go to Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Give us a 5-star review. We would really appreciate that. And now to our guests. Today we have two very special guests. Please welcome returning champion Harry Moros and first-time champion Kofi Yeboah. Hello, guys. How's it going?
What up, Doe? I was waiting for you to go first, Kofi. It's your first time. I don't want to step on any toes. Oh,
man. One at a time.
I'm glad to be here, man. Thanks for having me. This is great.
Yeah, well, Harry, of course, you've been on before. Kofi, it seems crazy that you've never been on. I feel like we've been following each other on and basketball Twitter for years now. You've done our season prediction videos.
NBA Twitter is interesting. It's like you know of people for like years, but like might never like go on a podcast or interact or like ever see each other. You know, it's interesting.
Yeah, I've been on Round Ball Rock's Reacher special series more than I've been on their actual basketball podcast.
What's the special series? They just talk about homies' abs?
They do a Patreon recap series about Reacher, which is the worst. Jamel, have you seen Reacher?
I did. I saw two episodes of Reacher over the holidays. My family in Oxnard loves Reacher. My aunt,
it's so far up your alley that I can't believe you haven't watched the whole thing.
My aunt Donna loves gratuitous violence. She's a huge fan.
Good. My boy Frank works on that show, and he does good things. So, all the best for Reacher.
Is your boy Frank Reacher?
No, he's not. He works in the post department.
Got it.
The one episode I saw front to back ended with Reacher saying he wanted to throw a guy out of a helicopter. And I was like, all right, got it.
It is impactful. It is like Law and Order if it was written by an 8-year-old that was obsessed with the military.
Damn, that is right up my alley.
Yeah. We brought Harry and Kofi on because you guys both happen to be fans of the Detroit Pistons. Is that correct?
And that, yeah.
Yes.
And when we booked this, yeah. y'all had not won a game yeah. yet. When we booked this, y'all was in the middle of a historic losing streak, and then I got neurovirus, and then y'all won a game. But y'all are still some shit, so I think this interview is still very important.
Okay, so, like, one thing about us being some shit, like, Banner, you're a Philly fan. Jamel, you're a Washington fan.
I have Peter's no room not here.
Talk. He's a Cavs fan. Three of us have been part of the this NBA, terrible like fucking streak. we're fan bases of the worst teams historically at some point. Not like overall, but at some point. We've all been there. And two of us are there right now. Three of us on this podcast.
Yes, I would consider myself there with you. I am y'all brothers in Christ.
No, y'all are our breaking point. Losing by 19 to the Wizards. Because before it started, we had a streak. But we had one game. We only had one game circled on the calendar. We're like, all right, Pistons, Wizards. All right, this is it. This is the barometer. And then we lost. The Wizards emptied their bench on us, bro. That was when we knew it was dismal times, like super dismal.
Damn, they let Johnny Davis play?
Yeah.
I forget who they let play, but I was like, I had to go through the roster. I was like, I have never seen this jersey number.
Bro,
on this team,
Johnny Davis is down so bad they don't even tag him in FitPix no more. I've seen him in pictures on a website where they do not tag him, and he is smiling.
On 2K, he's under Jackie Davis. They don't even get the name right. Man.
he's nobody. No face scan.
Young, it's crit, yo. I think the Wizards are the worst run team. I mean, I know they just got a new GM and stuff, so like everything that's happening isn't the new guy's fault necessarily, but I think as a whole, we are probably the worst run team, and you guys are so just like, the ones losing the games.
I think there are a lot of reasons why the Pistons are losing, and every Pistons fan knows why, and for some reason the front office and the coaching staff doesn't know why. It's so crazy to see a fan base so united on literally everything. I don't see much arguing about what they should do. Kofi, do you see any of that? Because I just see this needs to change. We all got it.
Okay, I think this needs to change. I think we're all on board with that. But I think that a lot of Pistons fans shift. But like there are a lot of camps being like, who's most to blame, right?
Or
how much to blame, whether it's like, okay, we blame like 60% front office, maybe like 30% Monty. And then some people are like, no, Monty is doing some absolutely like Miss Frizzle level experimentation, right? Where it's like, we don't know what like, but then for a lot of Pistons fans, it's a cycle where it's like, hey, Monty's not doing a good job. However, Monty's not being given a good team. Players are set up to fail. This is a situation where like a lot of people involved in the situation are just set up to fail. I think.
I feel like when Monty came on the team, he viewed it like, you know, like NBA Jam. He saw Cade and Dern. He's like, I got these two. That's it. And then had no idea about anybody else on the team. Just those two players. And I mean, that's essentially all they have anyway, at any point, depending on like what you want to see about it all.
And he coaches the team like, you remember when you played like soccer when you were like 6 or 7, where it's like no matter how good or how bad, whether no matter how good or how bad you play, like you were, everybody got to play. That's what it feels like. That's what it feels like usually day in and day out. Where like you see players and you're like, this is not an NBA rotation player, but they're getting minutes. It feels like that sometimes, which like doesn't like bring hope to me, honestly.
Do you think if Monty was really Miss Frizzle and he made Alec Burks real tiny and they went on a tour through, like, let's say my large intestine, a man getting over neurovirus, do you think that would get him to
getting
play
over it.
Better?
I'll have to get back on it, my man. You get it 4 more times, you're going to have immunity. I think Bill Maher said that.
I think you're constantly getting over not having neurovirus at this point.
It kind of seems that way. And I don't even be acting like that. It's really upsetting because as a fat person, you get blamed for every fart that gets heard and stuff. And it's like, I really be taking care of myself, dog. I really be taking care of myself. I don't know how this shit keep happening.
I know how it happens. You live with a teacher.
You get real like that. Are the Pistons in the middle of tanking? Is it like
So there's no need for Tank because there's no one to draft. And also, like, they expressly said we're gonna be good this year. They thought they were gonna be good this year. All the complaints that people had about the team, they're like, we can't shoot. So they got as many shooters as they could. Granted, they got like the oldest, most injured shooters on the planet who aren't gonna see the floor at all, and they expected some of their players with shooting potential to do it. But it's just, it's bad planning. It's poor understanding of like what you need on a team and poor understanding of what chemistry is going to be like as far as these players go. So like, they're not trying to tank, they're trying to win. They just don't have the pieces. They don't have nine. They have maybe five,
which is embarrassing in year four. Like in year four of like this whole project, I think starting with the 2020 draft where you get Hayes, you get Stewart, you get Sadiq Bey, that's when everybody was like, and then you get Dwayne Casey and you're like, oh, we're not expected to win games. And this went on for 3 years. Dwayne Casey was like, I'm good on this, and then leaves. Monty Williams comes in, and then the Pistons lose 17 games last year without Cade. So I think there was an understanding in the front office being like, okay, Cade comes back, we get another top five pick. This is where we start to actually like turn the corner, but then it somehow got worse.
Yeah.
So
I think part of it is the NBA just has a ton of really good players at this point. Like every team has, you know, multiple fucking studs, and it's hard to be a very young team where your best players are your young players. And no one plays defense at all. Plus, they lost their assistant coach who, like, introduced the defensive scheme, like, right away, which is wild, you know. But it just seems like no one knows what works best for your players, who accentuates each other. And, like, everyone was riding high off the Team USA stuff, like, oh, Cade and Durant, they're going to be, like, this sick duo. And, I mean, we've seen it. Cade put up monster performances. What, two 40-point performances, 30 points, double-digit assist on an absolute tear, no turnovers or low turnovers for him, and they still can't get it done. They just don't have enough. You got too much young, not enough good talent, and not enough well-rounded talent on top of it.
Can I ask you guys a question? You say sure. you say the Pistons are not tanking. So this is just true ineptitude on the team's part, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you think they deserve to have a Colangelo forced upon them by the league?
Look, I would be over the moon if that happened, because Troy Weaver last year, Troy Weaver sent you, he wrote a note to the fans being like, we'll be better, and then got Joe Harris and Monty Morris in free agency. Now they're like, Joe Harris and Monty Morris, I have nothing against them, except Joe Harris is not in the rotation. And Monty Morris, we haven't seen him this year.
Hasn't played.
So
he hasn't been in sneakers.
He tweets a lot about wanting to play.
Yeah. So I'm like, at this point, I'm like, okay.
He's just in Bali, just tweeting, like, hoping at the play soon. Puts his phone down.
Dude, he's in Flint. Like, he's back
now
home.
No, he's in Flint. He's at a high school gym right now. Like, damn, I want to play.
He's drinking the water. He's like, this shit's better than the Pistons right now. This fucking blows, man. It's bad. But like, so when the losing streak started happening, I was like, okay, how did the Sixers get to where they're at from the process? Because I think that's the closest that you have, is that you have this young team losing all these games consecutively. It's an inept front office. What are you going to do? But like, as much as Colangelo sucks,
well, okay, right? Here's the difference though. The Sixers very clearly were like, we're losing on purpose. The Pistons are like, we're trying really hard to win.
100%. That is the major astounding difference. The only thing I'm saying is as far as like results go and like what you have. So you guys have Embiid, and Embiid's, you know, a game changer. He's a perennial MVP candidate. Cade is as close to that as we're going to get. And I mean, there were stretches even in last night's crazy OT game where Cade just absolutely took over. So it's like, okay, you got a piece. When Colangelo came in, what are the major things he did? He got like mad traits, right?
Sam Hinkie had, say what you will about him and his plan, I wasn't enthused about the process, but what he did do was accrue a massive stash of draft picks that the Colangelo family immediately came in and destroyed.
Right. But I mean, you like, again, you're at where you're at now, right? You guys got Butler, you had Harris. You don't like Harris, whatever. He's not good. Pistons fans want him so desperately.
You're not going to like him either that. When he gets traded before February 9th.
I don't understand this obsession. Pistons are like, we want drama. We want to
buy Harris. This is where we're at, though.
But you're remembering years where you were mediocre when these players were at their peak. I don't want these dudes. I got no interest in these dudes. I don't want them then.
I don't want Tobias Harris from the Wizards either, but I love him.
Now, Kofi, you just said this is where we're at. I did notice something I noticed about your YouTube channel over the past month or so. You can kind of track where Piston fans have been at on the roller coaster of emotions by the title of your videos. Just about a month ago, you posted a Pistons related video called "The Thing About Pistons Blake Griffin." Now it seems like maybe you were just kind of musing about what happened with Blake. Maybe you were
good old days.
There wasn't a whole lot to talk about how the Pistons were doing. They weren't that deep into their losing streak yet. A few videos later, the thing about Cade Cunningham. It seems like you maybe just trying to find a thing to talk about with the Pistons. Five videos later, it can't get any worse for the Detroit Pistons, right?
Oh no! Yeah, oh, you what, had no game, idea what where game it was going. That? What game was? Oh, that was. I think that was a Celtics game, dude. I was on a flight that whole time, right? And the thing about that game is, that game felt different because that game had hope, right? There have been games in this losing streak where it's like you play Embiid, you lose by 32. Like I can leave at halftime and go do anything else with my life, right? Where as a Celtics, we're up 19 at the half. And I have never seen a lead evaporate so fast. I was watching NBA TV, like NBA League Pass on the plane. So I would have to like refresh the Wi-Fi every like so often. And there was one time we refreshed and, oh, that's a 1-point game. What happened? I swear that I was not off the app for this long, you know. I had multiple Pistons fans like at halftime text me like, I can't wait to see how this goes wrong. Right. And it did.
Yeah, it's what? The title, I mean, of that video again was it can't get any worse for the Detroit Pistons, right? About a week later, the Detroit Pistons have hit rock bottom.
Yeah.
Was that the
very
game?
Next day? When will the Detroit Pistons win again? The next video, the Detroit Pistons are embarrassing.
I love how much Benner loves misery. Look how happy he is saying this shit. This nigga's cheesing.
Hey, I'm a Sixers fan. Then you had the tragedy of the Detroit Pistons. All caps, enough is enough, Detroit Pistons. 23 losses in a row for the Detroit Pistons. The Detroit Pistons are not even tanking. 24 losses in a row for the Detroit Pistons.
Oh, yeah. We were in countdown territory when it hit 20.
25, 26, 27. The Detroit Pistons, how to break a fan base.
Yeah. Yep.
There's one name that was brought up during this.
How did this get even worse?
Where are y'all at with Wingstop? Has anybody spoken to any reps from Wingstop? Are they good over there?
I guarantee you people put on armor on the day they won that game because you know people were like in line like nonstop because that game went late. And then everyone was just like mad right to it. I don't even like Wingstop that much. I was on my way out there. They're fine. They backed up their business. They've been getting mad advertising.
Oh, sure.
Hey, Wingstop is Wingstop's better than your average fast food wing, I think.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kofi, sorry to revel in your misery as a Pistons fan, but as a Sixers fan, it just feels I feel seen by you guys right now. I feel seen.
It's all good. I think the thing that surprised me the most is how much I feel like Pistons fans didn't expect to get this much national attention at any point in this season whatsoever. Mm-hmm. Especially the fact where we were only given, what, 4 national TV games and like 3 of those were on NBA TV. And since then, 3 of them have been taken away from us, by the way. They said the Rockets Pistons game has been taken off ESPN. That's how bad the team is right now, which is astounding. But the fact that you hear a lot of people be like, I'm not even a big fan of sports and have like messaged me about like the Pistons streak and like this is history. And we were, I think we were one loss away from becoming a Jeopardy question in like 4 years, which would have been absolutely demoralizing for me just on like a random like Tuesday, just being like reminded about how bad as someone wins $800 and I'm just sitting there like, wow, I can't believe that happened, dude. Mm-hmm. That's crazy.
Well, let me ask you this, okay. Dude, that was the craziest thing to me.
Oh, go
on. People wanted that record. And I'm like, why would you want, just get this win. Don't be this team. We
I wanted to keep going. I wanted to keep going.
Crazy.
I wanted to keep going because at the time, like during the losing streak, I felt like the outward pressure, the outward negative pressure or negative press of the team would the hope in the back of my head would like be like, hey, I hope that these losses will spur some sort of like waking up of the front office. And if they won, that they would be like, oh, we're turning it around, and then continue to do nothing. Because yeah, they haven't, because during this like streak, they really haven't said much, right? Tom Gores speaking to the press was a big deal. And even then he was like, we've done everything aside from winning. We give back to the community, and everyone's like, "Dude, what are you saying right now, man?"
My man charges the community to make phone calls.
Yeah, so it's like weird that I'm just like, and it makes me feel sad whenever, because after every game, it was sad to see Cade Cunningham go to the podium, and the way he talks about it makes it feel like he's shouldering the burden. When you know that this is not a situation that he is set up to win in any capacity, and it sucks that way.
I mean, you know that lottery pick mentality. He obviously feels like he put the buffs on, and he was like, "I'm one of you now." But I agree with your logic, though. Like, you got to hit rock bottom for real. I mean, that's what happened with the Sixers. The Sixers weren't really losing on purpose. The Sixers were inept, and then somebody said, hey, let's tell them we're losing on purpose. That was not their first plan, dog. They had to hit that point.
I mean, and no, this Sam Hinkie, 3 years before the 26-game losing streak, Sam Hinkie literally said, we're losing on purpose.
Okay, what happened a year before that? Were y'all
drafted
good?
Drafted Joel Embiid, and then he sat out 2 years.
Okay.
Oh, you're thinking of before Sam Hinkie said it?
Yeah, they were, was this the a mid team? Good?
They were a playoff team. Yeah, that was the Andre Iguodala, Lou Williams year. They were just like a 7 seed that were going nowhere before Sam.
They were, they were like a purgatory team. Yeah,
yeah, exactly.
Like the Pistons did that for there are only so many 8 to 12 picks that you could watch go to a team be asked like to do higher than their actual output, and then they go to another team and like are actually in the role.
You forget you're talking to a Wizards fan. I've seen all the 8 to 12
all
picks.
All the 8 to 12 picks, bro. The doldrums, man.
I've seen them all.
Those eight to twelve picks were all trash. The like Dinwiddie and Chris Middleton, they were late. I think second rounder dudes. So we're not even talking about like your first picks with these teams. The ineptitude of the drafting from like, you know, post going to work Pistons up until, I think Weaver's actually drafted good players with the exception of 2020. I think 2020 is this crazy strikeout, especially considering all the players that were in that draft. But like, I love Cade. I think Cade's an incredible player. I love Asar. I got so many thoughts on the Asar situation right now. Yeah. I really like Ivy. And I think Dern's a good player. I like him a lot too. And I like Sasser. I think Sasser's solid as well.
Hey,
so
Durin was wilding last night. What was he doing trying to ride Walker Kessler like that?
That was incredible.
He's trying to press girls at the pool, dude. That's a chicken fight. I've been there.
This is losing. Okay, so that brings me to my next thing. I don't think he's acting like that if they're not in the middle of being one of the worst teams ever.
Okay, wait. Let me explain to the listeners who might not have seen it. During the Pistons loss to the Jazz last night, Jalen Duren went up for a crazy dunk. It was really beautiful. And then he kind of swung around and put his legs around Walker Kessler's shoulders and proceeded to ride him like a chicken fight down the court for about 5 feet before Kessler just threw him to the floor.
I think he just wanted to see if Kessler would block him there too.
He just kind of gently laid him a little. I don't know. I feel like every time they score, it's like a frustration reaction. No matter what the score in the game is,
every bucket the Pistons get is like, man, fuck. You know when you're playing pickup and you're getting beat bad and then you finally score? Yo, Harry, of course you don't know. Of course you don't know, Harold. You're getting beat. It's a game of 15. It's 4 to 12. You've gone 0 for 6, and then you hit your seventh shot, and then your reaction is like, man, fucking fuck. Even though you just made a shot. That's how I feel about every Pistons possession now.
It's like even if we do something good, it's futile.
The thing is they know that the stretch where they're going to get boned is coming. I think that's in their mind constantly at this point this year.
The Monty Williams all bench lineups are notorious for like fans that like, hey, whatever semblance of progress that you guys have made in this quarter is going to be undone right now. Like that's what the vibe is, and that's the thing that is that the win that we broke the streak, that was our like one of our best bench performances like of the year. And that it takes that because other than that, like Monty Williams keeps making platoon changes, and then like another team will be like, hey, if we just leave like one or two starters in, we're going to erase this run, like erase this lead, you know. It's infuriating.
Do you worry about Cade and Durant's like mental long term? Because I assume there's a few people that y'all want to stay. There's a lot of things that should go, and hopefully they do. But for the key guys, is this like a thing where you're like, man, are they going to be able to recover from this year?
I'm worried about Ivy and Asar a little bit. I'm worried about them more than Cade and Durin. Because the thing is about Monty is that Monty is doing a lot of experimentation. And some of it is forced and some of it is just his own like will. I think the Pistons have had like 18 different starting lineups this year.
Wow.
And some of it is due to injury. I think we had Bogey was out, you know, Durin was out, Stewart's been out, Killian Hayes has been out, Livers has been out. Like we've had all of those. But then sometimes he'll do these just like this person needs to play. So that for recently, Marvin Bagley's been getting a do not play coach decisions in favor of James Wiseman, and Monty Williams is just like, James Wiseman just needs a stretch of games to play. And that's the quote, and we're just like, what are we do? If I don't know, it goes back to the YMCA Little League like thing where it's like this kid needs an inning to play because the league requires it. That's in the rule book. You have to play every, you know, it feels like that.
And his dad might run up on me. Hey, your parents and say, they might really touch you.
I feel like they don't know when to cut bait on some of these players. Like everybody else knows. And I've been trying so hard this season to not talk too much shit about the players because, you know, I know they've been there. I've been very negative about Burke's play, but the dude is good when he's on. Like yesterday, he was crazy. The game before that, he was pretty solid. But like, if it's not working, it's not working. And they have... I'll name the names of the people they just need to cut bait on. It's Killian's got to go. Mm. Livers has got to go. Wiseman's got to go. And like Bagley's been playing well, but he's probably got to go because he's just redundant Jalen Duren. So like they have three version, like photo negatives of the same center and none of them play defense. So it's just tough because like you said, you just want to give all these people all this time, but it's hurting literally everybody else. And when it comes to like, the Asar stuff, when you're talking about the old bench lineup with him on it, he was doing great with the starters because Cade knew when to look for someone who's cutting, which, by the way, 90% of the people don't expect the ball when it's coming their way from Cade, which is crazy. Just like have your hands up. Yeah. And he did that. He's a great slasher. That's a different sort of floor spacing that I feel like just doesn't get discussed enough. And now he's playing with Killian and the Livers and Wiseman and Burks. And it's like no one's passing the ball. No one's looked to pass the ball. So he's in the corner waiting to get past the ball to shoot a three, which is his worst thing. And if that makes him a better 3-point shooter from the corner, great. Cause he's bad at it. I don't understand why, but he's like super bad at it. But it's like you said, it's such a detriment to his mental, especially coming from a place where he just won two MVPs of the championship in his league. And with Ivy, the whole benching at the beginning of the season maybe made him a better defender, but it went on way too long, like way too long. So I don't know.
How bad does it have to get for Isaiah Thomas to come back? Are you worried that he might actually come back? Are you worried?
Wait, which Isaiah Thomas are we talking about?
Zeke, the head of
Because every time a team's in trouble, Isaiah Thomas is like, y'all need a guard? And everyone replies to that. So I had no idea.
Kobe, like, did you see the Isaiah Thomas, Dwight Howard picture? Like, whatever. I was like, get this out of here, man. Dwight Howard wants to be on the Pistons? No, he wants to be in the Pistons. Like, it's a different situation. It's so bad, man.
Oh, it's funny that Isaiah Thomas is kind of like taking a very similar route of like Enes Kanter in terms of like trying very hard to make yourself relevant online. But like Enes Kanter is like appealing to conservatives and Isaiah Thomas is appealing to teams that might need a guard.
Like, right. Like
he's starting fights with Becky Hammon online so that like maybe the Kings might like sign him to a 10-day.
You don't think CPAC need a center who can't play defense? Come on, man.
I mean, I feel bad for those dudes, but at the same time, like, the dream is over. It's just over.
I feel more bad for the Pistons players than, like, upset at them. I'm not, like, it's more, like, a lot of these players are being asked to do things out.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Side of their job description, I think, where it's like, hey, mm-hmm. hey, you know, you knew scouting a star and his brother, you knew scouting both of them that shooting was their weakness, right? So I love the Asar pick. I love the pick. I think they're like, there's just the thing about, hey, now you have to put them in lineups where they can actually like showcase their strengths while they work on their weaknesses somewhere else. But the Pistons don't have the personnel to do that because of the inactivity this offseason. And it's just like, oh, wow. Okay. This is not fun.
What's the vibe like with the team podcast? Like, what's the energy on a Locked On Pistons episode these days? Do we need to take their shoelaces away from them? Like the guys who like believe in Pistons. Are they like,
I watched one. I'm not really like a heavy, like watch a lot of sports podcasts, but like when I tune in, I'm like, I saw, I think his name is Ku Khalil. He was like talking about the Asar Thompson like thing where it's like, hey, whenever he's on the court, he's like standing in a corner where that's like clearly not his game, and it feels like there's just a kind of hint that Monty Williams doesn't know what to do with him right now, which kind of just like feels so painful to like watch these minutes because we got to see him starting the season. We got to see what he could do. Like he was, I think for a week he was like third on the rookie ladder. There was like really cool flashes of like brilliance from him, and it got us excited about the future of Asar Thompson. And we're like, we don't like worry about the other stuff that will come later. What you're doing right now is so impressive for a rookie. Like what your strengths are is really impressive for a rookie. But now you're just here like weeks later being like, wow, 11 minutes a game now. Because it used to be like 30 plus, but now it's like 11.
Where him and Amen, him and Amen are switching places.
Yeah, playing Livers 36 minutes, bro. That's the thing. And then other people on the Pistons, like, they will either start or get big minutes. But it's like, maybe Livers is the best practice player we've seen of all time or something. Because I'm like, because there was no. I never, because Kevin Knox had a couple of good starts, and he gets rewarded by then not being started for Livers. It just feels like he's just like experimenting, even when stuff is going well, right?
Yeah.
That's where I'm like, it feels like any progress that the Pistons make in one game, or like, hey, this lineup worked. Let's never do that. Like that's what it feels like in terms of just like what's going on. It doesn't feel stable.
Monty got asked after the game about his decision to start Livers. He goes, I decided the day before. I didn't even think about it. And we're all like, we know you didn't think about it. Like, it's so obvious, bro. It's crazy. You're starting a guy who's known for his 3-and-D. And I'm sorry, Isaiah Livers, but your 3-ball has been atrocious this year. And your D is suspect. And your rebounding is bad. You've made fewer 3-pointers than Asar's terrible percentage over the last few games anyway. So, like, What difference does it make? So when we come down to like the Ivy and Asar thing, if you play basketball before, you know it is a game of confidence. Like being confident matters so much on the court. So much it's like crazy. And now you're putting these young players in a position where their confidence level is like a comedian whose name got left off the poster, who never gets booked anywhere else. It's so low. So it's hard to expect growth in that sort of situation. That's my big fear, I guess, with those two guys specifically. I think Ivy might, because he's such a hard worker and he's like a coach's kid, he might be able to like get through it all right. We'll see with the Asar stuff.
Guys, I got an outside-the-box idea. I'm looking at the Pistons roster. It is a roster with an unusually high amount of cool names. You got Jaden Ivy, Killian Hayes, Monty Morris, like even Marvin Bagley III is like a cool name. Asar Thompson, Cade Cunningham. Can you get a cooler name than Cade Cunningham? That sounds like a fucking detective in a movie.
It sounds like he used to write shit for the Daily Bugle, for sure.
Yeah. And then you got Isaiah Livers, which is just kind of a gross sounding name to me. Livers? Ugh, that's not a fun word to say. What if you boot Isaiah Livers and replace him with a guy with a cool name? That might fix the vibes on the team.
Let me suggest
Fontecchio.
How about a Denny Avdia?
I love Avdia.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's like when people, a lot of things about the Pistons is that players will like make up, like, sorry. People on Twitter will like make up these like wild trade machine things. And I'm like, actually, I know you're joking here, but I would love to have this player on the team.
Right.
Like, I know you're joking here. I know the trade is successful. However, I would love to have Denny gave us buckets. Denny looked like in transition. Denny looked like, out here looking like a LeBron, like Brandon Ingram in the transition against us, bro. I was like, oh.
I was just imagining someone put Skeeter from Doug in the trade machine, and he was like, yeah, come on, what? Make him real.
Skeeter? Yeah.
He would give us 20. He would give us 20.
And them baggy pants and them weird sweats he used to wear.
Six for eight from three, two free throws. He would give us 20.
You'd have to post three Hong Kong celebrations.
Hong Kong. I was currently Googling to see if Skeeter ever played basketball. He played basketball.
He a hooper.
He hooped.
Oh, Gerald from Arnold, 30-point triple-double. That's easy.
Yeah, 10 and 10 on y'all.
Oh, yeah, high school Brandon Jennings hair. Oh my God, it'd be sick.
Yeah, okay. Trade Isaiah Livers to Nickelodeon for Gerald.
Nickelodeon's doing too well to take on Livers, man.
No, trade him to Cartoon Network, bro. That they got the They got the cap space, bro.
Liver sounds like a bully from Ed, Ed and Eddie. He might be going to Cartoon Network. Oh, no. Here comes Livers. Everybody hide your bike.
Kofi, I got to tell you, I work for Warner Brothers Cartoon Network and their front office. They would never accept the contract. They would not dish it out. I'm telling you, man. You'd be like, we don't have the money. I'm like, oh, I know you do, but that's all right.
Kofi, I want to play you a quick clip that I think sums up what your season preview for the Pistons were in our annual season preview that we did. And then I just want you to tell me if this is still about how you feel.
I think I remember what I said.
Honestly, it was let's see. Of course, the soundboard stopped working. Great.
Nice.
Did this dude just did this?
I got your back.
That one worked.
Thank you.
Your own board?
Oh, yeah, dude. I drop them.
Harry, you showed up with your own board. What else is on your board?
Let me see a good one. What a do-boo. How about that?
Hey, that ain't bad.
Two chains.
If I had to, like, recall what I said, I think I remember saying that.
Hold on, let me try it one more time.
Oh, yeah. Okay, wait.
Nope, that did not fix it. Okay. Basically, the clip I was going to play was, you do not care about the wins and losses so long as the players develop. I wanted to ask, is that still how you feel today in light of three months later?
It almost seems like the coach watched that and was like, all right, yeah, I'll give everybody these bullshit minutes. Let's get the bench.
He said, bet. He said, yeah, that's what he said. It's wild how during this losing streak, to me, that Cade got like better.
Yeah, clearly.
And I feel like that's him playing back into shape after like missing a whole season, and there's stuff
plus
like
gaining
that. But,
20 pounds.
Yeah, but that just shows how special he is as a player to me. Where, you know, this team is depending, like, Cade can't afford to have a bad game. Like, there are other teams where like Jason Tatum could go 11 for 31. And the Celtics will still find a way to win a game. Cade cannot afford to have a bad game, right? So I like that he's been able to, like, still put up numbers through this and still, like, learn through all of this. I wish that the Pistons would also run, like, Jade and Ivy a little bit more in terms of, like, having him on the ball just a little bit, like, just enough, because his finishing at the rim is really good.
It's crazy.
And there are not a lot of people that can stay in front of him, period. You know, so Killian pass. All right. it's like, my thing with Killian is that it's year four, and I'm just like, if not, because he's had like some good like moments and stuff, but
last year was probably his best year, right?
This is his best month, that's for sure.
Yeah. He had like a couple good months last year.
Yeah. Durin, I think that now that we got Durin some ankle braces, I hope he's wearing them. I think that we'll be on the right track. I don't know what to do with Wiseman, man. I feel like we just need to give up on. Like, that's the thing. I feel bad because a lot of players on this team need reps, whether it's the NBA or the G League. But like, there are too many of those kinds of players on this team for everyone to get the reps that they need just to like develop and get better, which kind of sucks.
I see what you're saying. It kind of seems like, you know, this is the things that you always hear. No identity. They don't know how to play out a game together because they're so focused on development and giving everybody a chance.
Like, I would rather have Asar play 30 plus minutes in the G League than like 11 minutes in the NBA with this bench lineup that we're currently playing. I don't know if Harry agrees, but I would rather have Asar. I think that playing Asar these minutes, this level of minutes with the lineups that he's being thrown out with currently, I don't like it for him.
My thing about that, I disagree with Asar, and like, I don't mean in like any sort of negative way. It's just Asar played the last 2 years in the G League. Essentially, like that's the same sort of situation. Like, I just want to see him play NBA minutes against NBA talent. And in the G League. I mean, if you're on Twitter following like No Ceilings or any of the people who like report G League stuff, dudes are putting up like 36, 40 on like crazy shooting percentage. There's like no rim defense whatsoever.
Paul Reed for the Sixers was a G League MVP and like averaged like 30 and 15. So like right. the G League's it's, not it's, always, yeah.
Yeah.
It would make sense for Wiseman because dude played like 2 years of basketball before college, 1 year of college or something like that. So he doesn't even have minutes in general. And when you're watching him play, I hope he doesn't take this as an insult if he listens to the Airbud podcast. I don't know. But like there are things about like basketball awareness that he just does not have. Asar has that. You could see it in the summer league. Yeah. Like this dude knows where he's supposed to be. And that as soon as they drafted him, I was like, him and Cade are the two most irreplaceable players on this roster because jumbo guards don't play like Cade that often. Cade's playing like Godzilla minus one, gets hurt and comes back bigger and bigger and bigger, just like nonstop. But he's going to lose eventually anyway. And then Asar, he does everything that winning basketball teams need except for shooting. And if everybody else on your team can do that shooting shit, then it shouldn't matter because he makes up the difference. So it's for him. Don't play him 11 minutes. Just play him sometimes with Cade. Give the dude 20 minutes a game, play him with Cade. And if you're going to put him in the corner, shoot threes, then you know what? Sorry, just fucking shoot them nonstop. Just get your reps in the end because you're going to lose the game anyway. So just put up the threes. I don't care.
I'm with the play Asar a lot of minutes in the NBA. That's my dream. Like that's my 100. Let's get back to when the season first started. That's what I'm like. I would rather I like that. That's my first option. Don't get me wrong, but yeah.
I saw him. So the last game he played like real significant minutes was that Indiana Pacers game at home when he played the four.
Is that the game where like it was like we're gonna experiment with Asar as a screener?
Yeah.
And then he I don't think Monty has revisited that a
not
lot.
Once. And the dude put up like 20. It's insane. You see things that work and then you don't repeat them. It's so fucking frustrating.
Yeah, it seems like at this point, the Pistons season is a lost season. So why not just play Cunningham, Ivy, Asar, and Jalen Duren together as many minutes as possible. Because
We need Alec Burks 32 minutes a night, dude. What do you mean, bro?
When I brought up Alec Burks on that Magic School Bus, I know from following you, Kofi, Alec Burks is number one on your hit list.
Alec Burks and Isaiah Livers, it's sometimes it's the most. Like when they're playing together, they've had some like horrendous stretches, you know. And I think for me, it was the fact that like there are times during the streak where Alec Burks was shooting like 32% from the field, and I was like, "No, from the field, like for the season." And I'm like, "Yeah, on the good days."
That's what I'm saying. There was like 20% from the floor, and I was like,
"Yeah,
the floor."
So that's where I'm like, okay. Whatever, and Livers was shooting like just as bad. Where I was like, okay, I know we are clowning, not clowning. I know that Asar doesn't have the shooting, but the way that these other two are playing right now, what are you losing? That was my like thought process. I was like, what are you losing? These two can't shoot right now.
Is Alec Burks what they consider a vet?
Yeah,
Alec on the Burks team, is the all time. Like leader and like, oh my god, they signed Alec Burks. That could help our roster. And then 3 months later, you're like, I want that fucker off my team.
Oh, right. There's a whole category. I love that category. It's like
the Josh Smiths what's of the world.
Evan Fournier. Yeah.
He sacrificed for his teammates, man. Yeah. that's his story.
Yeah.
Okay.
Does Ricky Rubio fall into that category?
I don't.
People love that dude.
I don't. People love that dude. I feel like he's too likable.
Oh, also announced his retirement this morning, by the way.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Shout out, Ricky. Sorry to shit on you on the day you announced your retirement.
Hey, brother, enjoy Spain. We know you listen.
Yeah. Before we wrap up, I just want to ask you guys one last question. Two more questions, actually. One, So the Pistons ended their 28 game losing streak on December 30th against the Raptors, and they went on to lose two more straight. Would you prefer them to go like 500 the rest of the way and kind of wind up just like a mediocre bad team, or would you want them to lose another 27 in a row and break the record for losing streak twice in one season?
Which would be amazing.
It depends on it. Like from a short-term perspective, I want the five. But if I was told that the long-term perspective got a front office shakeup, if another like losing streak got a front office shakeup, I'm like, hey, let's make. But that's the thing. I wouldn't expect going 500 for the rest of the season isn't. I don't think it's. Doesn't even sound realistic because we have like the hardest strength of schedule left in the league, and it's us, right? A lot of stars have to align for us to be in the game and or to win the game. So I would rather, the wins and losses did not matter to me coming into the season, the development did. So I don't really have an answer either way. I just hope that the players at the end of the season have made a couple of improvements and strides. That's what matters to me the most.
I say break it twice. Break it up.
No. No. Okay. So I don't believe that breaking the record twice would do anything different about what's going to happen with the front office at this point. I don't think it'll have an effect. You're already tied for the longest streak in history. That should be enough. And I lived through the Lions going 0-16, and I cannot keep having teams associated with my city that are the worst, that will be declared the worst all time. It's so heartbreaking, and it gets so friggin' tired. It took 50 years for the Lions to get to an acceptable point as far as in the media, right? And If they play 500 ball the rest of the way, that means they figured out a lot about what it means to be successful, and that gives me hope. And also, when it comes to the draft, the people that the Pistons should be having their eye on are probably number six, number seven, as far as prospects go, guys, tall wings they can take a chance on. So the having a high lottery pick won't do anything good for them. It's not like it's maybe you get lucky, but the draft is lucky for the most part. So. Who knows? I would take them going 500 the rest of the way. Plus, I got to watch all these games. I want to watch 50% more wins. I'm not going to watch 27 more losses while my fucking wife stares at me like, why are you doing this in bed? She's been begging me. So when they started their skid, we shout just got married. We got married on Halloween. Give it up
congrats,
for her.
Congrats.
Give it up for us. Yeah. Thank you very much. And so we got married on Halloween. I got this tattoo. What shoulder is it? I'll show you. You guys can't see it on the podcast, but it's the Pistons bad boy colors, and it's a skull brickin' on the rim, right?
They for the listeners at home, 29. It's Daffy Duck. It's Daffy Duck smoking a fat.
You just showed us a tattoo. It's Daffy Duck.
Warner Brothers, baby.
Grabbing his ankles.
Oh, wait, that's Donald Duck.
Oh, you
went for
a Daffy impression. Crazy.
I went for Donald. How dare I? Daffy, Daffy's my boss, baby. But so they started losing, and I told my wife, I was like, they haven't won since we got married. And she's like, you're not allowed to talk basketball anything anymore. She's so mad about it. So I don't want the Pistons.
Well, you did
losing
kind of just blame your team losing on your marriage.
I didn't blame it on the marriage. I blamed it on the timing. And that was my bad. I admit my bad is the whole thing.
Blame the timing.
The timing was bad. It was bad overall. I want them to play 500 ball. I want them to win some games, and I want them to figure some stuff out. And I want to see my favorite player play, which is Asar. There's just no doubt about it. I love watching the guy play. It's very fun to watch very athletic dudes do very athletic things on the basketball court.
Yeah.
All right. Well, before we get out of here, I do want to check in with Harry. As long as we've known you, you've been on a
congratulations.
You've been on journey to return to dunking, and I've noticed recently that you are you put that back on your goals for this year, right?
Yeah, man, I'm on the ESPN's 30 for 40. That's my 30-inch vertical by the time I hit 40 in 2 years. I've had, like, mad knee injuries, but apparently nothing crazy detrimental. I did do – you guys know who the knees over toes deck guy is?
Yeah, no. The ATG, the TikTok guy.
Yeah. So I did his program for like a year and a half, 2 years. And after 2 weeks, like my knee pain went away. So I was like, all
really?
Right.
That's a
it was, okay. Dude, it was crazy. Kobe, hit me up afterward. We'll talk about it if you have okay. like. And if
I do.
You're
I
old,
do. I have, yeah, no, I have runner's knee in both knees. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. We'll talk about it afterward. And so now my sister-in-law, she bought me and my wife this jumping box. You know, it's like one of the ones you like turn several ways to get over. So now that I have that and I've got like a mat at gym, I can like actually jump without doing it on concrete, which that was the number one reason why my knees were injured. I was doing all this jumping stuff on concrete, which, believe it or not, sucks.
Yeah. <your knees.
laughs> So we'll see. I'm on my third jump program right now, Vert Shock. Let's give it up for them. We'll see if I can do it. And let's check back in 10 weeks and we'll see where I'm at.
Listen, I'm going to be throwing you a lob opening night at the Little Caesars Dome when the new and improved Pistons hit the floor next year.
Man, they... I love it. Like, for a while, I was joking, but like, they got put me on this team and see what I could do. And then after a while, I was like, could I actually do something on this team? It's like so crazy.
You guys
to
are
think
ready
that that's
for
a
like,
possibility.
Yeah, a Thunderstruck, like a Eddie type. You guys are ready for like a comedy movie type scenario.
Right. Contest winner gets to play starting point guard for sure.
Put me on there. Call me AK-711. I'm in. I got the Russian look. Let's make it happen.
I was gonna summon Mr. Ed out there, bro. I'm sure that Mr. Ed would. Mr. Ed in the paint. I know y'all don't expect me to pull out Mr. Ed references, but I grew up without cable. This is all I got.
Throwing entry passes to a horse.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. Nothing in the rule books is a horse can't swat shots in the paint.
Can you imagine a guy throwing an easy bounce pass to a horse? That's amazing. Yeah.
They gotta put got peanut butter on his lips so he can talk trash.
They taught him how to say fuck out of here.
Wow. Call him a repaho.
Guys, right before we wrap up here, news just broke from Woj. Golden State's Draymond Green, on an indefinite league suspension since December 13, is expected to return to the Warriors facility in the coming days to start ramping up to resume play again. Green will miss his 11th game tonight, and conversations are still ongoing about when he will return from the suspension. His return is getting closer, though.
I forgot that. It's been that long.
As soon as I pick up Kuminga off the wire, now they want to bring this fool back. Man.
I think I need to talk to Draymond Green's therapist because, like, 3 weeks will fix you as a person. Gotta go.
I need that.
Yeah.
Can the therapist stop me from getting neurovirus?
It's called a doctor, Jamel.
Oh.
Go to your general practitioner. I'm sure they can help.
My bad. I've been going to the therapist the whole time. I'm like, Doc, I'm shitting my pants again. It makes me feel bad.
Yeah. Are you thinking about your mother when you do that?
Hell yeah.
Harry, Kofi, let's wrap it up here. Where can we find you online? Anything you want to plug?
Yeah, you can follow me on TikTok at Kofi Y, Twitch at Kofi Y, YouTube. You can just type in Kofi, KOFIE. And you can follow all of my other YouTube videos are on Secret Base. That's it for me.
Nice. Harry?
I recommend following Kofi. It's great Pistons content. And, like, it's
all around
it's cathartic.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I'm in it for the Pistons. I don't give a shit about your other content, dude. I'm sorry.
Fair. That's fine.
We just be crazy.
I'm primarily in post now. I'm, you know me, COVID recluse at this point. 4 years running, baby. Still haven't got it. Still staying away from everybody.
Oh, wow.
But it's wild what wearing the mask and avoiding sick people will do, like was suggested. But watch Bugs Bunny Builders if you got kids and you got Max or you got HBO trying to get nominated for stuff for editing that. So if you can, give it a watch. Get me hired again. And if you like animation that looks like it's for kids but is definitely not for kids, then you can find me at HRMOROZ and watch some of the stuff that I do, which is just a couple things a year. And if I ever get back into stand-up, look for the name Harry. And I don't think there are a ton of us out there doing that.
Listen, don't come back, man. Just work on the Dunkin'. It's going to be way more lucrative than stand-up, brother. I promise you.
I'm not in it for the money. I'm in it for the love, baby.
Okay.
I think I would love dunking more than stand-up.
Hell yeah. Personally. God, if I could dunk, I would never go to a fucking mic again. Are you kidding?
I feel like once I'm done gives Tony you like all the fulfulfilment that like being a great stand-up would be.
Do you if understand? Dave Chappelle
could dunk, he wouldn't have all these Netflix specials.
If I could dunk, I would walk in a Legion Theater dressed just like Cat Williams and just air fools out all night.
I wish Cat Williams had aired out fucking Tom Gores for his lies on the Shay Shay Club. Like Tom Gores said this to the team. Read everybody else out.
Can't believe we went an hour and did not talk about the Cat Williams interview at all.
Honestly, Jamal,
we
got to
do a
best.
Patreon episode about
it. Yeah, we'll get there. You got to get with me and Rob about that because me and Rob are going to talk about that one.
Jamal, anything you want to plug?
Hey, I'm plugging the Airbuds podcast. Listen to this motherfucker again.
I actually have stuff to plug. A movie that I worked on, Destroy All Neighbors, is coming out next week. It is going to be on Shudder streaming, but it's going to be in select cities and theaters at Alamo, Draft Houses, particularly in LA, New York, Austin, Chicago, El Paso, Houston, Raleigh, San Francisco, Yonkers, DC Metro, Northern VA, and San Antonio.
Damn! You're going to be at the one in Woodbridge. No!
It's probably going to be at Woodbridge, yeah.
Yes.
Tell your friends to go. And then I think it'll also be playing at the IFC Center in New York. And then if you're going to be at SF Sketchfest, go to the screening up there on Saturday, January 20th. And then the very next day, January 21st, Sunday, at the Elysian Theater in LA, the Dead Pilot Society is doing a reading of a dead pilot that I sold a long time ago. It's going to be along with my co-creator and star, Open Mike Eagle. The cast is incredible. It's going to be fun. Go to Elysian Theater, find tickets. Sunday, January 21st. Jamel, you're playing a part in it.
I'm in there. I will be playing Black Man number 4.
Man, they got 4. That's inclusion. Nice job,
four of
guys.
Them. I'm telling you, man.
It's an entirely black cast except for Paul F. Tompkins. So it's actually, you probably will be Black Man number 4 or 5.
Makes sense.
But yeah, check it out. Thank you guys for listening. We love you. Bye.
Now, see here, Tracy. It's impolite to slurp one's soup.
Hello. Sabadoo.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.